Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Iowa Healthcare Association MCO member call, joined by representatives from Amerigroup Iowa. I will not go into as much depth on our informational letter since I covered that in our previous call with Iowa Total Care, but I will state the IL numbers again for your reference if you'd like to take a look at those. IL-2208 is on CARES Act spending deadline extended through June 30th. So that's for state funds if you received a grant from the state for COVID relief extended through June 30th. IL-2211 is for EVV January 2021 update, which includes RCF providers in that delay of using CareBridge for billing through January 1st or July 1st of 21. IL-2214, questions regarding billing for COVID-19 vaccines and monoclonal antibodies. This would be for administration since the vaccines are free of charge. So it would be billing for those. I'd encourage you to look at that. And IL-2216, which is the extension of due dates of cost reports for an extra 60 days. So I encourage you to also look at those. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to John McCauley with Amerigroup, who was beginning to talk about some updates that Amerigroup is in the process of working through regarding the COVID-19 vaccine and their participation with the Iowa Medicaid Enterprise on that project. So go ahead, John.
Yeah, so we are working with IME and Iowa Total Care jointly to determine the appropriate role for managed care organizations to play in the distribution of the vaccines. The number one barrier that the state, all states are facing clearly is the quantities of available vaccines and then the degree to which they can get put into the hands of the local officials to address the 1A, 1B and the tiers within those priority groups as defined by the Department of Public Health in rolling out the vaccine. So our work is coming sort of swimming in the wake of that and identifying, you know, potential areas where we can assist with communication about availability, where there may be gaps and other potential intelligence that our case managers and overall teams can share with the state. In that regard, and for the IME to be able to communicate when information is coming out, new information is coming out about available new vaccines plus quantities coming into the state and how that might affect our members in certain settings. So there's not a ton of concrete information I can give you about the managed care interface with vaccine distribution, only wanting you to be aware as trade association as well as individual providers that we are tracking to it much more closely and understanding that there are members within both managed care organizations and outside in fee-for-service that may be a little bit more vulnerable than others and that we would want the state to take a close look at prioritizing. So with that, I will say, you know, our team at Amerigroup did have a conversation with Brandon and Julia there late last week just to share information, open up the lines of communication around the notion of distribution of vaccination, better understand capacity on both sides. And there will probably be some follow-up conversations along those lines when there appears to be some more concrete program or collaborative process forming, then we'll bring it to this group in this setting or maybe other settings to be able to communicate that. That's really about all I had for updates from Amerigroup. I'll pause and, double check to see if Donna, Danielle, or Julie have any updates they want to provide at the top of the meeting.
This is Donna. I don't have anything.
Okay. Nothing for me, John. This is Julie. Sorry.
Danielle, I don't have anything. Sorry, Julie.
There we go.
All right. Well, thank you, John, for that update. We did have that meeting, and if the rest of you were on, you would also see in that John has some long flowing locks of hair as well. So just wanted to make that comment. Looking good, John. We will go into our questions here that we had submitted ahead of time. The first one is, can you identify when you receive the state rate file and when you load the state rate file? And then just as a little bit of color behind this, this is from a nursing facility. Those rates obviously are quarterly adjusted for case mix for nursing facility providers. And because of COVID, we've had a little bit more of delay than what the system is supposed to be set up for, where those rates didn't come out until the end of January, right? And so what providers are considering to prevent the need for corrected claims is possibly holding, depending on how long it takes for those rates to be uploaded into the MCO systems. So that way, neither party needs to have a corrected claim back and forth on some of these. So that's where the color behind the question comes from. So when you received the most recent rate file for January 1 rates and when those are expected to be loaded.
As you pointed out, we receive the rate files at various different points throughout the year. We load the rate files within 30 days of receipt of the rates from IME.
Hey, and John, I can jump in here. This is Julie. I can let you know we did receive the January rate file late last week. I was trying to remember what day it is because you don't always even know what day it is. So I believe it was late last week we received the bulk of January 2021. So if you figure they will be loaded by the end of February. So there should be significant plenty of time. If you want to wait, I think it's easier for everybody if we don't have to do corrected claims. I will say if the nursing homes know, you should have also received, you know, your updated rate. If the rate went up, go ahead and start billing at that higher rate. And then that will also eliminate the need for corrected claims. That makes sense. And we will reprocess. If we have the claim in the system at the higher rate, once those rates get loaded, we will reprocess those claims with no additional work on the provider, providing you billed enough. That makes sense?
That makes sense.
That's for this quarter.
Yes. Yes. I thank you for that clarification or that additional detail there as a reminder to bill a customary charge or bill an amount in excess of your actual rate, so then if it does need to be adjusted, then it's done automatically through the MCO process rather than an actual corrected claim from the provider. So thanks for that, Julie, for bringing that up.
Yep.
This next question is, once we've submitted an issue to our provider advocate and they've sent it to the claims team for a project, how long should it take for a provider to get a resolution or a response?
This is Danielle. I think the average time is about 30 days. It can be up to 45 days, but I urge all providers, please reach out to your representative if the representative put the project in. And only because we manage so many providers, we're just not going to know when one particular project is complete.
Thank you, Danielle. This next question is on the COVID relief rate claims for nursing facilities, and it's asking about what are the timely filing requirements for those claims. And then just as kind of an aside or an additional information, obviously, COVID's been going on since March 2020, around there. The information letter, I was thinking, didn't come out until July 1st or June 30th, something like that, and then had continued to seek guidance on the billing of those claims for the next several months after that IL came out. And so I do know providers, some providers have submitted those in January and received some timely filing denials. So I guess, what are the timely filing requirements given the context of what I just stated a second ago?
So this is Julie. I got clarification on this as well, and it's kind of confusing. Basically, April 2020 falls under the standard timely filing of 180 days. Then when IME put out, you know, the IL about the CRR claims, and then there was the informational letter of 2129, effective dates of service beginning April 1st is when they extended the timely filing. So if you had a March claim, it's 180 days. Beginning in April of 2020, you had 270 calendar days. So given those parameters, if providers received a timely filing denial and incorrectly based on those timeframes, then reach out to your representative and we can intervene. Actually, you can also appeal yourself, would be faster, and just point out, you know, that based on informational letter 2129, we were given 270 days to file claims. Did I say that coherently enough? Sorry.
Yeah, I think so. At least okay. I understand. And it's 270 from the, so like if
data
we had a
service.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was asking. Yep. Okay.
Yep. And that started in April, though, not in March. That, you know, there was that kind of window. So,
yeah, the 13 days.
Yeah, the disaster area. Like yeah, the first, yep. Between March 13th and the end of the month, those still are the normal 180 days of timely filing.
Okay. This next question is also surrounding the COVID relief rate. And it's whether or not client participation or the member pay amount should be coming out of that COVID relief rate amount. So I guess, for example, if you're having someone who has a member pay amount of, say, $1,000, and they're only there for the first 3 days of the month, normally it would just be whatever the facility's rate is for those first 3 days is what would be the client participation that's paid. So say they have a rate of 200 for 3 days, that $600 would be paid. What's happening in some instances is, because if those 3 days were COVID relief rate days where they'd get the extra funds, Amerigroup is asking that the full CP be paid to cover or to offset that amount, even though they were really only there for 3 days. I don't know if that makes sense. If that's even coherent.
It does. And the answer that we were given from operations is it would be, I mean, that is appropriate. As far as, you know, the way we were doing that system, we were anticipating that it wouldn't happen a lot. Although given your scenario, I can see where that would come out, but we are taking CP out of the CRR payments. So, it, you know, if things align up that way, then it would come out of that. That's accurate.
Okay. And then I guess as a follow-up or an aside, was that a decision made just internally within each of the MCOs, or was the state involved in that decision? Do you know?
I do not know. We can go back and check, certainly, to see, okay. But that
like,
I don't know.
Like you said, it's probably very limited in the number of instances, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I was just curious.
Yep. I don't know for sure, Brandon.
Okay. That is what I had as far as my pre-submitted questions. We can look into the chat here quick and see if there's anything that have come that's come in yet. So this question is regarding overpayments or takebacks of overpayments, and it's asking why there is not a name or an ID on these takebacks, so then the provider knows where to apply the payment. Any comments on that?
Not without additional information. Can you? I don't have access to the chat, sorry, so I can't read it. What? Can you say it again? Or?
Yeah, it just says, why is there not a name or ID number when MCOs take back an overpayment so I know where this is to be applied?
But I believe, now, Julie, I don't know, when you the overpayments, usually there's an initial letter that was sent out, and if it's not disputed or responded, then they'll take the money out of any future claims. Is that correct, Julie, if I misspoke?
I'm sorry, that it would come out of additional future claims, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yes, that's, that is accurate.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
This next question is on vaccine administration charges. And it's asking if Amerigroup is still working on uploading those reimbursement rates for vaccine administration. This provider in particular has submitted some of those charges, and they're not being reimbursed at the published rate by IME. So just a question on that, I suppose.
Let me double check, but I believe there were some that we still either had not received from IME or had not been loaded. Let me see if I can find that note real quick.
And while you're doing that, I'll move to the next question in the chat, and it's on the timely filing question, or it's a follow-up to the timely filing question that we previously had. For COVID relief rate, 180 days for the initial claim to be filed. We were previously told if the original claim was paid, we have 365 from the prior paid claim date to submit an adjusted claim, which then contains the COVID relief rate addition. Does that still... That's still an accurate
yes, process. That is. Yep, that's a good clarification. If you're submitting a corrected claim to obtain that payment, yes. Corrected claims have 365 days. Just make sure you indicate that it is a corrected claim.
Perfect. Looks like John put the provider reps in the link in the chat. So thanks for that, John. This is the question on the client participation applied to COVID relief rate. What does the provider need to do to get the claim corrected? Do they need to dispute, reach out to their rep, given the low volume of this occurrence?
Regarding a CRR claim?
The client participation being applied to the COVID relief rate claim. I guess reading that question, the response to the previous question about whether or not it should be included on those COVID relief rate claims was yes, they are applying it. And Julie was going to check to see if that was an Amerigroup or a DHS decision. So I don't know. According to the previous response, it would not be a misapplication of the CP because it is being applied as CP.
Correct. And I have the information branded on the vaccines.
Oh, great.
As of Monday, some of the remaining pricing we're still waiting for. IME updated many fee schedules for the new price, but not all. So there may be instances where you haven't gotten paid. We're trying to pend most of those to, and just hold them until we get the pricing in place. But if that might be the reason for some delay in payments on those. Some have paid, some are pending, if that helps.
Yep, that does help.
Okay.
This next question that we have is on, it's home health. They've been receiving letters to take back money for claims stating that they don't have the XB on the claim. These claims do have it on there and were submitted correctly initially. Why would a provider be getting these letters?
This is Danielle, so I'll take this one. And I know providers have been reaching out to me, and a lot of times, and I'm not saying this is the case, but sometimes providers will say they bill the XB, but some kind of way when it's transmit over, it's not there. So if the provider can let me see the claim, because I did have one provider yesterday who reached out to me and it was flagged for take back. And when I looked at the image of the claim, the information was clearly there. So I was able to reach out to an analyst on the cost containment side, and she flagged that as not to recover. So I would actually need to see this claim and see an image to verify that that is correct. And if so, hopefully, you know, I mean, we can get this claim flagged to not be recouped.
Okay. So, Elise, if you have specific examples and showing that the XB is on there, send those to Danielle. If you'd like, you can copy me on it.
Yeah, send me the claim number so I can look at the claim image to see if that information is really there.
Thanks, Danielle. Next question is, where can I go to ensure the COVID relief rate claims are set up for payment appropriately? Are these to be adjusted claims from with the original claim? They submitted a claim that took back the room and board and then reprocessed only paying the COVID rate for those days. So what's the best? How should they be doing that if that's what happened? I guess, and maybe I'll add, Kim, when you're submitting for those COVID relief rate days, I think your amount needs to be high enough to be able to include both the COVID relief amount and your room and board amount in the billed charges. So I don't know if that's maybe part of the problem. We'd also want to make
yeah,
sure
I mean,
that,
you can't.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say you can't submit a corrected claim for just the COVID relief. The corrected claim has to be the full claim, room and board plus plus the payment, if that was the issue.
And Kim, if you can elaborate in the chat further down, that might be helpful. We've received an overpayment letter for EOB of primary. They appealed it. Is there a way to easily check on that appeal since it contained 30 plus claims? Also, since the recoupment request is not valid due to Medicare being primary, will this recoup request just be dismissed? This is probably a Danielle question, I think. I think this is probably home health.
Which question is, I'm sorry, I was multitasking. I apologize.
That's all right. It was 1152. We have received an overpayment letter for EOB of primary, and they appealed it. Is there a way to check on the appeal since it contains 30 claims? Also, since the recoupment request is not valid, will that recoup request just be dismissed? I guess I'll start by saying we at IHCA recommend anytime you receive a letter, you follow the formal dispute process as a provider just to make sure that you are within and maintaining all of your dispute and appeal rights. So even if we're working something for you, or if you have something out to a rep or somebody else, I would still follow the formal stated dispute and appeal process just to make sure that you are maintaining your rights within there. So I just wanted to start by saying that. So go ahead, Danielle.
And yes, you are correct. So yes, please follow that process. And as opposed to the EOB, once again, these need to be reviewed, because I did have a provider yesterday who I was going back with a claim and it denied for EOB, and she thought that it was for Medicare and it was for commercial. So I need to see that claim to see, you know what I mean, what the, you know what I mean, the primary insurance, look at that member. Because if it's commercial, you know what I mean, and it's home health, we're going to need that EOB. But if it's Medicare, that's different, then we need to make sure it was billed correctly, the claim was billed with the condition code correctly.
Thanks, Danielle. I see there's another question on the client participation piece for the $300 a day add-on for the COVID relief rate, asking if the enhanced funds were provided through CARES Act, how can that be, that burden be put on a resident to have to cover, is essentially what the question is.
I don't have an answer for that one. I think the client participation is the same. Yeah.
The client participation is the same. I agree. I think I'm going to use the word moral or conscious. I don't know what the word is, but it's the thought of enhanced funds were received to be able to cover this add-on, and the person who ends up paying for it is the resident out of their personal funds, I guess, is the question. and I can follow up, I suppose, with the department or somebody else on that specific question, since it's, I don't know, I guess. And that, I guess that maybe that's part of why I asked if the department was involved in that decision, so I could get their
take. Yep, and that, you know, we'll just have to go back and clarify that as well. We still don't have that information today.
Okay. No. Okay. This question, we were told that in December, PTOT speech auths were not going to be faxed to the facility. But at this point, we are barely getting the nurse auths either. And Availity keeps shutting down after you look up one or two auths. Availity states there's nothing wrong on their end. How is this going to be resolved? We're finding out things have been approved by the letters that are going out to the facility, not the auth approval that should be faxed to us. Does that make sense?
Brandon?
Yeah.
I'm just checking to see if I was off mute. This is Angela.
Hi.
Is that a question, hi, about home care? Because I'm not sure what facility part.
Yeah, I would assume so.
I'm not sure what they mean by facility.
It's probably their office, I would assume. Maybe clarify later in the chat if you wouldn't mind who asked that question.
They put in the chat that it's home care.
Okay.
I see. I'm trying to find the question again. We are not faxing on the physical health side. We aren't faxing any home care auth approvals out at this time. But the letter, if the home care agency is in the system as the servicing or billing provider for the therapy, then the letter would come to whatever name and address you put on the pre-cert form for the home care agency.
Thank you for that. I was reading the next question, which is also on Availity and performance issues with it being down a lot. And I mean, I have heard that from several providers. Is there any comments or thoughts on, from Amerigroup's perspective, on Availity and how that's working?
Hey, real quick before we respond to that, I can see your email that was intended just for you, Brandon.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
Just wanted to make sure that you take that down off the display.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I will say, well, one, I'll apologize for that, but two, I'll also say we do need some kind of support, I think, supporting documentation from that. So my error on that. So this question is on XB. I see it at 11:56. And Angie, you would be correct. XB in field 80 is for Iowa Total Care claims. Diagnosis code of Z76.89 is for Amerigroup claims. As of, I'm trying to remember. And I don't remember when that went into place. I want to say around April-ish, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think you're correct. I think it's Daniel. I think it was around April. Yes.
But I would also comment it could be for claims prior to that when XB was the preferred method, I suppose.
Correct. For Amerigroup. Yes, you are right.
Okay. Will Amerigroup automatically reprocess the vaccine administration claims already paid at the incorrect rates? Total Care is paying them correctly, so I assume that this was a loading issue with Amerigroup. I did reach out to our provider rep and have not received a response yet. So will those be automatically reprocessed, those vaccine administration claims, if they were paid incorrectly?
What type of claims? I'm sorry.
Vaccine.
It's really difficult when I can't.
Vaccine,
and they were processed at the lower rate.
Yeah. Yep.
I believe they should be processed without intervention on the provider. Again, assuming they billed at the rate they were expecting and we had a lower rate initially loaded, we would go back and correct that.
Does the room and board claim and the COVID relief claim have to be two separate claims? Want to answer
separate
that as,
claims?
As
no.
Saying no. Correct. Yeah, I don't think
separate
that they
line,
do either.
Lines.
I think, so what I would probably do, and Julie, you can tell me if I'm off base on this, but I'm doubting that there's going to be instances where you had someone who needs the COVID relief rate for the middle of the month, right? And so what you would probably do is you would probably have three claims in that instance. You'd have a claim for the first, say, 10 days as normal room and board. You would then have a claim for the COVID relief rate days, which we'll call 10 days. So days 11 through 20, you'd put the DR code on there. And then you would bill for both room and board and COVID relief rate on that claim. And Julie said two lines. And then at the end of the month, so the 21st through the 30th, we'll say, you would bill as normal room and board again. That's probably how I would do that. Does that make sense to you, Julie?
Yep, you can do it. I believe, and I'm sure providers will let me know if I'm incorrect, I believe you can do it also by claim line, like one claim in exactly how you described it, but lines. The line one is first through the 10th per diem, total per diem for that 10 days. 10th through the 20th is the per diem plus the 300 times 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then line three, and then the total amount on the claim would be your 30 days of per diem plus your 10 days of the total charges would include the 10 days of the relief rate.
That makes sense. And I guess we'll find out here, I'm probably sure, later on in the chat. I haven't got there yet if that process has worked. I will say that I have heard from at least, I know one provider who has been successful in getting these paid. They bill the exact amount that they should be getting. which I know is kind of counterintuitive to many of you when we're billing, you know, a customary charge or in excess of a certain amount. But I have heard that if you bill your Medicaid rate exactly and your Medicaid rate plus 300 exactly, a provider that I know of has had success in doing that. So I don't know if it just makes it easier to track and understand because you can tie a rate to a rate. You can tie a rate plus 300 and it all checks out. That makes it easier. But
yeah. I think that's fine too. They just include the amount, however many days to apply that additional rate, and that's the total bill charges. That's what you were saying, Brandon.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Yep.
So this next one, in the past, I've been able to dispute a CP issue under or overpaid through a web appeal. Recently, all of those are now being dismissed and told to send to the cost containment unit. Why the change, since the claim still needs to be reworked correctly?
This is Danielle. I don't think, Julie, you want to say something?
I was going to say the same thing you were probably, so go ahead.
I don't think it was a change. I think that your first issue with the client participation was just a claims processing error or mistake. These client participation, if it was the money was recouped by the cost containment unit, it could only be disputed and resolved through the cost containment unit. So nothing changed. It's just where maybe there was a claims error, you know what I mean, on the claim side, or if there was clearly an overpayment or what cost containment believed was an overpayment, they took the money. So in order to appeal it, it must be appealed through cost containment.
Thank you, Danielle. I see Kim commenting again about the how they've submitted their COVID relief rate payments. And I guess I'll start by saying we definitely know that this is an imperfect process because it's completely different and new from how we've always been billing room and board claims, right? And so it sounds like Kim had one instance where the claim paid and then she had another one where she did the exact same thing and it did not pay correctly. So I guess, Julie, what would be your suggestion for her in this instance?
I mean, the first easiest thing to do is if the one that didn't pay correctly to try to appeal it yourself, you know, and put the language in there about how it didn't pay. I was just trying to see if I could go. And then if that doesn't work, we'll have to escalate it for the provider. But again, I can't see the question, so let me know if I haven't answered the actual question.
Thanks, Julie.
Yep.
This is regarding the recoupment question. Can someone check on project number? And then they listed a project number in the chat. 103-6258, which that number actually does sound familiar to me as one that maybe had been looked at in the past. Somewhere from back to 2016 are not available to check status on the portal. I'm trying to remember, and John, maybe Danielle, one of you maybe remember this, but I feel like that was one of the project numbers that Amerigroup was pausing to be able to see if they were going to not look at claims that were that far back because of all this EOB stuff. Am I remembering that correctly?
It sounds correct, but I don't want to speculate, so I need to see some information. I don't want to say yes and it's not, and then I really don't want to make that mistake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Understand. I think, I don't know if you can look up project numbers, but 103-6258 is that project number. And I seem to remember that. I think that was like in December when we were talking about these projects. And being for timeframes all the way to 2016.
There was a communication, but I don't off the top of my head remember what it was, so I don't want to misspeak.
Hey, Brandon, it's Julie, and I agree. That one was the EOB issue out of that unit, and it was paused. I don't know what came of that, though. That would be a good follow-up question.
Thanks, Julie. We will check on 1036258. I think we asked that question initially as well. And I guess a follow-up on availability of, I mean, does Amerigroup also see that availability is down a lot? Or is that something that just providers are experiencing on their end? Because I have heard it, you know, quite a bit about it being down.
This is Julie. I mean, periodically, yes, well, you know, we get updates too that there's just some slow or lag time. It just seems to be intermittent, which I'm sure it doesn't feel like to the provider, but.
Right. Well, and
we do get those reports as well.
Yeah, I guess I'll add, you know, as more things are being directed to the online portal, they're on there more, and then they would see more outages. And if that's the only means for them to be able to access that information, it needs to be up, obviously, as much as possible so providers can get to that.
Yeah, and they are constantly working on upgrades and improvements, for sure. I mean, it's definitely on everyone's radar.
Okay. This is a question on with EVV and for an assisted living provider. Why is Amerigroup denying code S5125 due to EVV for assisted living? This was extended to 7-1 for them.
So we had to submit to CareBridge a list of assisted livings. So if you did receive a denial, probably just send it to me to make sure that
they were on the list.
Got added to the list.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Kim, send me
that's easily remedied.
Perfect. Kim, send me your provider name and I can pass that along to them.
Actually, I already have it. And so this is Donna. And so I'll just forward it on to Julie. Kim
okay,
already
great.
Sent it to me.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm flipping through. I see several answered questions. So thanks for answering those as we went, Donna. On the web appeal issue, when I contact cost containment, they have nothing showing in regards to the claim being overpaid. These are for SNF claims, and on the web appeal, I've attached the IMPA printout. I guess that's a follow-up from that. And then I have a message sent directly to me about the COVID relief add-ons and this provider's experience, the keys to make sure that the COVID diagnosis is primary and the rate is reported correctly on the billed claim lines. Otherwise, it will not process at the higher amount. So it's possible to get them processed. It just seems a bit non-traditional for many of you providers from how you have normally been submitting bills. So correct rates, and then on this provider's instance or experience, they've been putting the COVID diagnosis as the primary, so it's easily seen. And yes, I will get back to you on that project number, J Chance. So
To Jay Chance, which I think we just connected, she wanted to follow up on the project number. I just sent her a blank email, but she got it. So perfect. I know to follow up with her. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. I'm seeing comments on availability. I'm getting down on the bottom. Kim also comments that reconsiderations and availability related to CP and rates seem to reprocess correctly. So that's a positive on availability there. Okay. That is what I have as far as questions in the chat. And I don't see anything else in my email. So I'll say, thank you again to our representatives from Amerigroup for being on the line with us again this month. We always appreciate your involvement and continued participation. So thank you again for that. Thanks to our providers for being on. As always, submit your questions to me ahead of time. If you can, we can get a prepared answer from either of the MCOs. Otherwise, we're at the mercy of what's in the chat and the time constraints possibility, which obviously today we're 9 minutes early. So again, thank you to everyone for participating and have a good rest of the week. And I will point out that last year on this date, it was 55 degrees. So just so everyone is aware of that, Iowa, you cannot predict it. So have a good week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stay warm.
Thank you.